Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a teacher, and who causes and allows everything we do to give glory to our God. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this humble assembly, the wonderful opportunities that you give us to serve you. And we pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Very quickly, just to reiterate, in the next few weeks, three continents will be represented by missionaries here. Africa, Dan and Pat next week, and then Asia, the Fassels at the end of the month, and then North America, the Risleys, and 10 October. Now, one other thing on missions. I asked somebody to pick up the ball and help with the missionaries. And one person came, and bless her heart, she already has so many tasks, but I learned a little secret a long time ago. But anyway, that person is Laura Daig, and she has to kind of front-run the missions for us. And I learned a long time ago the old saying, if you want something done, get somebody who's really busy, because they'll get it into their schedule and get it done. Don't give it to somebody who has a lot of time. They'll just put it off and won't get it done. So Laura and I will be working together. And what she asked me what I wanted done and this type of thing. Well, just keep up with the missionaries. And maybe twice a month, or if something special happens with Dan and Pat, something special happens with Fassel and Carrie, something special happens with the Risleys, tell us about it. Get up that following Sunday and let us know what's going on. Keep our board over here occupied on the three continents and different things like that. So there's a lot going on. I got a call yesterday from an old missionary friend, Ralph LaRosa. Some of you might remember Ralph. He's with the, he and Cindy are with the Philippines. And we had a good talk. I'm going to try to see him Tuesday if possible. But he flies back Wednesday, so he's not going to be able to be here. But anyway, there's just a lot of opportunities for us in the supporting of missionaries. And that's part of our responsibility in the spreading of the gospel. Don't have to go to a foreign country, but we can support those that God does send to these countries to spread the gospel. Okay, what are we going to sing? 333.
Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me. Still all my song shall be, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. There let the way appear, steps unto heaven. All that Thou sendest me in mercy give. Angels to beckon me nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. Then with my waking thoughts, bright with Thy praise, out of my stony griefs, Bethel I'll raise. So by my woes to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee.
Okay, let's talk about prayer. Just a minute, let me see if I'm on. Yeah. Was that what we were saying? Oh my goodness. Okay, good. All right. Let's talk about prayer. First of all, any prayers that I'm not aware of that we need to be in prayer for? Yes.
Chris, Father, it looks like soon we'll be making a transition to assisted living. So prayers for him, prayers for his wife, and prayers especially for Christy, because she'll be bearing the brunt of most of the administrative duties, if you will.
Yes.
My mom and dad's best friends from when they were growing up, I was with them and my aunt and uncle. My aunt passed away on Thursday morning, and she was 82 or 83,
believer.
Somewhere around there. She was a believer. Her husband is battling, I think, pancreatic cancer, and so he's dwindling away. So prayers for the family, prayers for my mom and dad as they bury their friend. And, but they are believers.
Okay. So they live near your parents?
They live about an hour away.
Oh, an hour away. Okay.
In that area.
In prayer. All right. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Want to give an update for the church server staff? There are a lot of things going on. And I really appreciate some of us have already started testing and letting me know via email or even tell me about some of the lessons that are missing, because the host, the company that moves the physical content of the server for us, they actually moved it 2 weeks earlier, but they didn't actually point at the address where the internet can reach us until last week. So we were uploading some content to the old server that was not moved.
Okay.
Yeah. So be that as it may, if you guys get time, you know, just go back and click around. Especially for like the latest versions of the records that we actually have, you know, in the past month or two. You know, either click to see if it plays. And if it doesn't play, just let me know one way or the other. Text me, call me, email me, either way. Okay. And I'll be here on Wednesday as well. And then the final is the domain change. Just like, you know, when you buy a car, right? You actually have to register your car license plate, right? Same thing. This is the last step, the domain name change. That's happening this coming week for the main one. The two backup ones, unfortunately, they did not actually move the domain for us. So I'm putting in the request to move.
To move the other two.
It might the license itself, that registration might take longer. And be that as it may, Leslie is going to have to try to send out the prayer list, because the mailing list happens to be in one of the two domains that we actually haven't moved. Yeah, so she's going to send out the prayer list manually. I'll give her the list of the subscribers for now.
Good. Let's be in prayer, people. That's our a lot of our congregation. Yes.
We pray for camp location and dates for us to be guided by the Holy Spirit on decisions there. We're going to visit another campsite this week. There's still others that we're talking to, so this is just still something that we need to make a decision on, and we're prayerful about, and whatever doors God's opening and shutting. Thank you.
I will continue to be. Please join us in prayer, people. Don't criticize the young people. Let's pray for them and support them. And speaking of young people, Mackenzie, how's school this year?
Good. You like your teachers?
Yep.
That's good. Yeah. I bet you like them all.
I have 1 week of school, so I'll get to know them better than
I <don't> know. Well, we're in prayer for you, darling. We're in prayer. Any other prayer requests? People, there's some pictures of young people back there. They need your prayer. And you know, you're walking in a store, pass cards, you see a funny card, mail it to one. You don't have to send money, you don't just say hi, thinking about you, in prayer for you. That does wonders. And if you want to slip in $5 for a hamburger, that's even better. But you don't have to do that. Just write them a letter. Let them know we care about them. They're the future. some of you may have come in to see it this morning, and we were watching something, you didn't know what it was. I highly recommend that you, on your computer, find Christians United for Israel, QFI. And you just type in QFI, C-U-F-I, and then you go down and find the 2018 seminar, and I highly recommend you listen to the ambassador from Israel, and then the UN ambassador from America, the lady that was on when you came in. I highly recommend, yes.
Eve, she's going to have surgery on September
4th,
and it's major surgery.
Major surgery, be a prayer for Steve. Be a prayer for Steve, he's traveling, and so be a prayer for Steve. Tish is not feeling well, please be a prayer for Tish, and so that's some of our own we need to be in prayer for. Okay? The Word of God declares, whatsoever man puts in his soul, he gives, let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. People, I hope you have a missionary heart. But if we're going to support missionaries, it takes money. Money that you have. You've got to pull it out of your pocket, put it in, and we'll support the missionaries. And by the way, I have no problem. I haven't talked to Jim about this, so I may be getting into trouble. But if you want to give, just say, I want to give $100 to Courtney. Just put that in a little note on there. I'll be sure she gets that 100. And so, whatever you want to do in that respect. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this assembly here. That we have somewhere to come and use our freedom that we have in America to study your word. Father, we thank you for the privilege of supporting missionaries, supporting young people, supporting each other. Pray, Father, to receive the offerings we're about to give and use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Not have forgiving each other. Does anyone not have a copy? Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. I think you know the purpose of this prayer. Test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit. He is the teacher of the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there are so many things that come on in our lives. Sicknesses, illnesses, unexpected finance, trouble with people, work, life, car. How grateful we are, Father, that you've given to us everything necessary to handle these things in life. Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes. In Christ's name, amen. People, I want to introduce this morning by saying something to you. This is not a Bible study on Colossians. This is not a Bible study in theology. I hope you understand, this is where you and I live. This is how you handle problems in life, in your family, in your marriage, at work, social life, church, a heart of compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, forgiving one another, bearing with one another. What we're studying is where you and I live. Now, prophecy, great study. Great study. I enjoy it. But that's not where you and I live today, in our home, at work. That Christ is going to come again, fine. He's not here right now, and I got to put up with this problem. I got to put up with this financial problem, this sickness, this illness, this family problem, all the rest of it. That's what this study's about. It's not about history of Israel. That's extremely important. Understanding the Old Testament helps us understanding the New Testament. The Bible says that. But this is where you and I live. You got to understand, that's why I've not, like most all commentaries that I've read, I did not read any commentary. And I only look at what I think are the best as far as the language is concerned, that spent the whole chapter on each one of these. They listed them all together and went on through it. And I didn't want to do that. This is where you and I live. That's why I spit. That's why I'm so thankful Kit put these out. What is a heart of compassion? I forgot what it said. Well, you have a paper now. You can go back and read it. Study it. Examine it. Look at the verses. Kindness. Gentleness in adversity. Long-suffering. All these type of things. And in our 9:15 class, we're studying spiritual love. This is, to me, where we live. I can't make it any clearer, any more personal than this one. These two studies of where we are right now. The others are more dynamic. The others are more exciting. Revelation's exciting. Understanding history is exciting, except for some. History's boring. But this is where you and I live. If you're married, your married life, and your single life, work, social life, school. How do I get along with these people? They're obnoxious. They're pitiful. They're sinners. They're this. They're that. How am I supposed to get along with everybody? That's what we're studying. That's what this is about. We're studying on Wednesday night Acts. The first inner problem, now the outer problem came from Satan and the religious crowd. The first inner problem, money. The second inner problem of the church, conflict of believers. Jealousy between believers. It was pitiful. That's why Paul wrote Colossians. Handle these kinds of problems. How to handle them. People can become a nervous wreck. If you don't become a nervous wreck, turn on ID and you learn how to murder people. See? What not to do and what to do. But you get frustrated. You want to murder, you want to get rid of, you want to leave it. No, there's another answer. That's what this class is about. The other answer. And the other answer ends with forgiving each other. Not only are we to put up with one another, we're to forgive one another. Quote, this Christian life is getting more and more demanding. And yes, it is. We're studying Acts on Wednesday night. So far, we're in the first few months of the church age. We've already had two major problems within the church. This is exactly why Paul wrote Colossians 3 and 4, which concentrates on the believer's interaction with one another. And it includes the local church, but it is inclusive of your marriage, your family, people that you deal with, work with, travel with, run into in life, heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness in adversity, long-suffering, putting up with one another, and now forgiving each other. But remember, the reason for all these demands on our Christian life is getting along with one another. It's because we are each one related to each other by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We should strive to get along in the local church so that the local church can fulfill its responsibilities to the young people, to the missionaries, to each other. It's got to fulfill its duty. And remember, none of these demands can be accomplished in the flesh. Each one demands the filling of the Holy Spirit. I believe one of the reasons the church is in the problem it's in today, very few people know how to tap into the Holy Spirit. I think some do it and they don't know how they did it. I think some never get there. And they're doing all that they're doing in the flesh. And that's why the church is in such a mess. Now, sometimes in our lives, someone does something that we just say, I cannot forgive them. Cannot forgive them. Well, let's talk about that as we go through this. Let's start off with a powerful principle. You cannot forgive as God dictates that you forgive in the power of the flesh. You can discipline your flesh. You can. I'm admired. Olympic workers, Olympic contestants. What the discipline that they have to go through for their body. To get their body, that keen place that it is when they enter an Olympic game. And even seasonal, the various sports that people have to do. Discipline. People that work, that start in the morning and go to late in the evening. Self-discipline. It's amazing. I don't know how they do it. That's discipline of the flesh. And a lot of people know how to do that. But most people do not. But let's say you are successful in this area and you discipline your flesh to have a heart of compassion, forgiveness, gentleness, and all that. If it comes from your flesh nature, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You're not going to get any trophy. There's not going to be a Vince Lombardi trophy for you at the end of the season, the end of your life. It's not going to be there. You're wasting your time. Better just to forget it. Or get into the power of the Holy Spirit. See? Many times, people cannot, believers cannot forgive. And even when they're able to forgive in the flesh, it's partial for forgiveness. It's forgiveness with strings attached. Forgiving in the flesh means nothing in the spiritual warfare. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Forgiving. Present middle participle of the Greek. That comes from the root charis. That's the root of grace. The verb means to show someone a favor. Be kind to, these are idle lexicons, be kind to give or bestow a thing willingly, to give generously, bestow, remit, forgive, release, pardon, to forgive graciously, freely, cheerfully. I underline words that this isn't just a matter of forgiving, it's an attitude of the soul that goes with it. The word means to give without strings, to completely forgive. This is an iterative present, what we call it. That means it's used to describe what reoccurs at successive intervals, not in your life, in a day. And for some of you, in an hour. See? If you deal with other people, in an hour. You'll have to forgive and forgive and forgive. How many times do I forgive? Seven times? No, seven times 70. But just think of seven times. From 8 in the morning till 5. Seven times. That means that person commits that same sin against you every hour. That's going to get obnoxious after a while. You know what? I don't think you're serious. I'm not going to forgive you anymore. See? It's difficult to forgive. As we develop this word, the question arises, how can a believer forgive graciously, especially cheerfully, certain things another believer does to him or to someone he loves? You have to be in a proper relationship with God and with Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? It's not being in a relationship with them. I don't care if it's your husband, your children, your parents, friends, family, it's not about your relationship with them. It's your relationship with Him. You're able to forgive them if you're in a proper relationship with Him. That's what it comes down to. If you're occupied with them, forget it. All bets are off. Hide the guns. See? But if you're a proper relationship with Him, it will be easy to forgive them. If you're reaping in life what God sows, you're being blessed by God. Therefore, forgiving someone is easy, not difficult. But you have to be in the right relationship with God, not with them. Obviously, you're not in right relationship with them. They've just offended you in some way. They've just really messed it up. You're not going to forgive them. But if you're in right relationship with God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to forgive easily. But please know that if you try to forgive on your own, in your flesh nature, there's strings attached. But when you forgive in the power of the Holy Spirit, in spiritual love, there are no strings attached. The iterative present, very important here. This describes what happens in your life, throughout the day. And like I said, for some, throughout the hour. There will be times when people, husband, wife, family, friends, church, work, will offend you in very specific ways. And sometimes in a very horrible way. You'll be well aware of it. And you are even hurt by it. I'm not angry with you. I'm hurt by you. That's a big difference. I'm angry with you, or I'm not angry with you. I'm hurt by you. What are you going to do with that hurt? If you keep occupied with them, you're not going to get over it. You change your thinking. Go to FM. That's thinking about God. Faith mindset. See? Now, when this happens, you're in a great challenge to love as Christ loves, which means now is the opportunity for you to forgive with no strings attached. Now, the middle voice of this verb is used to describe the subject, that's you, participating in the action of the verb. Question, what is our participation in forgiveness? First, faith in the Holy Spirit. Then, the act of forgiving in His power and in His love. And you know what that means? This means you reap what God sows. When you forgive someone and you're occupied up here, not there, up here, you reap what God sows. If you try to do it between you and them, you reap what you sow. And that's going to be bad. This means you reap what God sows. The believer, again, that's you, is forgiving in the power of the Holy Spirit. The participle, what about that participle? I know you were asking, so I knew I wanted to answer that. Some of you just worried about that participle. Well, this is one of these places where the participle acts as an imperative. And you know by now that the only obedience that God is looking for is what? Not forgiveness. Faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives you the power to forgive. The Holy Spirit transfers your thinking to God. Not who they are, not what they've done, but God. That's very important. If you keep thinking on them, you'll not forgive them. If you forgive them, it'll be with strings attached. If you shift your thinking off of them onto God, it's easy. Because God forgives you. Forgiving each other. Now, this is not forgiving one another of the same kind. This is a difficult to communicate, and I'm going to try. It's what we call a reciprocal pronoun. This means that because we are each in the family of God by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are under relational obligation, binding all believers equally. Forgiving ourselves is what this reciprocal means. Each other. That means forgiving yourself. Forgiving the self and the family. What this simple pronoun is teaching is that because of our union together in Christ, we are in a bilateral commitment with each other. Reciprocal rights and duties. One of the duties of a family member in Christ is to forgive other believers. I don't know about you, and that's your own life, it's your privacy upbringing. I grew up with a brother, and then I had stepbrothers, then I had a half-sister, and all this interaction stuff. And we just learned. It became the code of that. You can't fight each other. But my mother didn't put up with that. You just forgive each other. Let it go. Bear with one another. I mean, all kinds of simple little things that could be done. Leave some money down. Well, when we were growing up, quarter was a quarter. But you leave it, and somebody took it, that's bad. You learn to handle those things. I feel sorry for organized sports today. Young people, children in organized sports, they don't learn how to handle things on their own. We'd be outside playing sandlot football, sandlot baseball. We start coming in, hey, get out of here, y'all work it out. You had to work it out. Was it a strike or not a strike? Was he out, was he not out? You had to work it out. You learn, okay, I don't agree with you, but okay, I'm out. You learn to deal with these things, see? And that's what we're dealing with here, see? It's reciprocal. You deal with each other. We have to. We're in the same family. We have a purpose that has to get accomplished, which will come up next week, or 2 weeks from now. Dan and Pat will be here next Sunday morning. All right, Colossians 3:13, putting up with one another of the same kind, completely forgiving each other as joint members of the body of Christ. In other words, this is forgiving yourselves. This is further explained in the next phrase. Whoever has a complaint against anyone. The Greek word for complaint is rarely used in classical Greek and only here in the New Testament. It refers to whatever blame or cause exists for complaint. This is where this gets complicated. All through this verse, we have reciprocal action. This means that if someone comes to you with a grievance, that's a complaint, you are to do whatever you can do to the best of your ability to straighten things out. Christ taught that. Go to him. Tell him you have a problem. If they don't respond, take somebody from the assembly with you and go to them again. You got to work it out. You can't. It's amazing how many people will try to deal with a problem when the elephant's right there in the room, but nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about this elephant in the room. That's the real problem. See, like the lady said this morning at the UN, everybody hated Israel, but nobody wanted to say so. Everybody wanted to dismiss Hamas, but nobody said a word about Hamas until she did. And everybody said, you're right. Hamas has done a lot of bad stuff. You have to talk about the elephant that's in the room. Don't try to walk around him. You'll bump into him. If you try to avoid him, it's not going to work. So you have to deal with these things. See? That's the grievance. But the point here is that you are to forgive them of whatever that cause of complaint is. This means we should try to be very careful in our dealings with one another. Principle. If a family member or friend comes and wants to borrow money, I highly recommend do not lend the money. If you can't afford it, if they don't pay you back, it'll hurt you. Then don't lend the money. Don't create a problem that will later on turn into a real family breaker. Growing up, I know two aunts and uncles that did that. And it disrupted the Christmases and everything. I didn't get as many Christmas presents one year because they were broken up with all this stuff. But you if you think ahead, spare off things. Stop them. Don't let this go into that. See? Cause problems that way. Head it off. That is, if they do not pay, then can you get along without it? Or are you going to start hating them, resenting them, not wanting them at family functions? See? Okay. Here's the point of this forgiveness. Forgiving with no strings attached sets you free. Here's the point now. Sets you free to go on with your own spiritual life. People, as long as you carry resentment, hatred, anger, jealousy, revenge, whatever, you're not going on in your spiritual life. You can't. You can't even come to Bible class. You're sitting there looking at this person. You don't bear with them. You dislike them. You can't even learn the Word of God. You can't sing praises to God. You can't pray. Your mind's occupied with them. Forgiveness sets you free. Please understand that. I guess that's my primary point. It sets you free to go on with your own spiritual life. You're able to move on in spite of that rat. See? In spite of that turkey. You're able to go on growing in the Word of God, worshiping God, praying to God, serving God, witnessing for Him. But people, as long as you carry resentment, jealousy, anger, and so forth, at somebody who's wronged you, you can't. You have allowed, here's the deal, you've allowed that no good dirty rat to interrupt your spiritual life. Are they worth it? Are they worth that? No. They're not worth it. And what they did isn't worth it. It is not worth interrupting your relationship with Christ. Don't let them do that. Forgive them. Forgive them so that you can move on in the plan of God. See? They and what they did is simply not that important to allow you to ruin your spiritual life. Think about this. Think about what they have done. As horrible as it is it worth compounding the problem by you staying out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit? And only you can answer that. You have to decide, is my relationship with Christ more important than what they did? Or is what they did more important than my relationship with Christ? And if your relationship with Christ is more important, forgive. Forgive. It's easy if you're occupied with Him. See? Now, here's the question. Is it right that they just go on and get away with the wrong they have done? Is that up to you? Are you going to take matters into your own hand? That's murder. That's revenge. That'll get you into a lot more trouble. See? Is it up to you to take care of them? Because let me tell you something. You're carrying hate, revenge, jealousy toward them isn't affecting them at all. It's only affecting you. You're not paying them back. You're not paying them back at all. They're getting even with you, really. You're the one messed up. So let it alone. Is it right? Is that up to you? Is it right that they get away with it? Let me ask you something. Is it right that you get away with all the sins that God forgives you? See? Play that game. No, it isn't right. I've sinned today. I was angry. I did this. I did that. God, I come back to you in faith. Boom, you're back in faith and you're gone in your spiritual life. So you just have to understand. See? So if you mean that your relationship with Christ is more important, people, it becomes easy to forgive them. How important, and what is important to you, I guess is the best way to word it. What is important to you? Your relationship with Jesus Christ or your resentment of them? Which is more important? People, let me tell you something. Be honest. If your mind keeps set on them, that's more important. You transfer your thinking to Christ, that becomes more important. Why did Paul start Colossians 3? What did he say? Set your mind on things above. Keep thinking on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Don't think about this. This will pass. This is going to be over. See, you're going to move on. That old idea, I'll never smile again. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. It may be a couple of mornings, but you will. See? So, yes.
Context is referring to believers, forgiving believers, because we have a purpose and a job to do as a unified body.
Yes.
But it also seems, in my thought process, very true with unbelievers as well, because if they see that we're acting this way when filled with the Spirit and easily being able to forgive each other, then they would be called to want to understand why we would possibly...
That's our witness to the world. Right. How does Christians forgive each other? How can y'all do that?
But wouldn't it also be true that we'd be able to forgive unbelievers?
But it's easy to forgive an unbeliever. To me. It's easy. I don't expect anything out of it. But when a Christian does me in, that dirty rat. But when an unbeliever does me in, hey, shame on me. Not him.
Verse refers to each other, but it's applicable for all.
Yeah, it's a principle. It's like spiritual love. Love one another as I've loved you. One another means another believer. Does that mean we do not love unbelievers? No, yes we do. But that's easy. It's difficult to love a family member who's done you wrong. See? That's why Cain killed Abel. Starts off right from the beginning. First idea lesson. One brother killed another. This passage is about that. You let it go. You let it go. But yes, it's much easier to forgive an unbeliever, but this applies to unbelievers. Okay? Now we come to the standard of such forgiveness. Forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Alright, let's start off with just as. This sets up a comparative standard, giving the manner in which something is to be done. We saw this in the New Commandment in John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I loved you. Now we come to the standard of forgiveness, just as the Lord forgave you. The reason most people have trouble here is that they recognize only Jesus Christ is Lord. But the Word of God recognizes all members of the Godhead as Lord, including the Holy Spirit. And when it comes to forgiveness, this is what God the Father does toward believers of the human race. So, because of what Jesus Christ did. So therefore, Jeanette says, just as the Lord, my understanding, that's God the Father. If you want to stay with Jesus Christ, hey, we can drink a Coke over that. I don't worry about it. See? That's a nice tea. Have a glass of Bordeaux if you wish. See? That's what the important thing is, that we do it in that divine standard. Just as the Lord forgave you. Aorist active indicative of the same verb we just noted, and I were to forgive each other. Aorist tense, God the Father forgives all members of the human race and in Jesus Christ. This is clearly what Paul was referring to in Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. This is the same construction as Colossians 3:13. Then it says, just as. Only here Paul says, God, not Lord. God. But note how and why God forgives. In Christ also has forgiven you. Past tense. Here is another example where the chapter break are in the wrong place. Remember, chapter breaks and verses are not divinely inspired as Scripture is. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. That's not a statement by itself. Don't go out and try to imitate God. See, you won't be able to do that. Here, how are we going to imitate God in this passage, in context? Not in all His essence and attributes and actions, but in just one. Forgiving one another as God forgives you. Okay, why are we to forgive one another of any complaint? One, so that we can move on in the plan of God for our own lives. Not just not get sidetracked by these kinds of things. People, it's amazing. I mean, just think of our obsession. Radio, books, radio, television. With the court scene, murder mysteries, this kind of thing. It's just in our understanding of history. Murder. People ruined their whole lives. Not to mention people that murdered. But their whole lives, they just lost it and murdered somebody. Now they're in prison or capital punishment, whatever the case may be. See? Was it worth it? No. Was it worth it? That person wasn't worth it. But that's what we've done. We've allowed that person to interrupt our spiritual life. Are they really that important? No, they're not. No, they're not. See? Secondly, now we have a second reason for forgiving one another, because that is what God has done to us. So what we can head off a lot of questions, so we can head off a lot of questions about one believer forgiving another, let's take a look at what forgiveness of sins does not accomplish. From God's viewpoint, what does forgiveness of sins not accomplish? One, forgiveness of sins does not result in salvation. Two, for there to be salvation, there must be the imputation of righteousness, which comes only by faith in Jesus Christ. Three, forgiveness does not result in salvation. For there to be salvation, there must be personal faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Four, forgiveness does not automatically result in reconciliation. That's a big point. That's a very big point. Forgiveness always sets up the opportunity for reconciliation and fellowship. But not automatically. Not automatically does forgiveness result in reconciliation. Reconciliation comes by faith in Jesus Christ the Savior and through fellowship with the Holy Spirit by faith. Five, forgiveness takes away the wrath of God for sins, but does not take away the wrath of God for refusing to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Six, for believers in Jesus Christ, forgiveness does not mean there will not be divine discipline in the believer's life. Forgiveness from God is heart and center of Christian belief. It is at the foundation. Failure of understanding forgiveness from God affects a multitude of other doctrines. This failure is part of the reason for believers thinking they can lose their salvation. They do not understand forgiveness. Correct understanding of forgiveness affects our relationship with God and affects our relationship with each other. Forgiveness of one another. There are several passages where we are to forgive as He has forgiven us. So if you do not know how God forgives, you will not know how to forgive yourself. Nearly every Christian likes to talk about forgiveness. But when it comes to the real test, most Christians fail. Though they like to claim they do forgive, they also like to have a few tricks with Scripture so that they can whistle by, not do what the Scripture demands and what can be done only in the power of the Holy Spirit. Before a test, forgiveness means this and that. But once the real test comes along, well, now forgiveness means something else. See? Then they go through some real spiritual gymnastics. But the truth is, they cannot forgive. They do not want to forgive. They're not going to forgive. And they can show you in Scripture why. They manipulate Scripture. The absence of forgiveness It's one of the great problems, inner problems, of many Christians. Deep in their soul, they carry scars of hate, anger, bitterness, jealousy, resentment, that comes out at times of pressure in a very ugly way, verbally, physically. And the people I am addressing are not forgiving those who have died. You understand this? Many Christians harbor in their soul still resentment towards someone who's dead. How ridiculous is that? To allow someone that's not even alive to interrupt your spiritual life, to keep you from advancing spiritually. Forgive them. Move on in your Christian life. I know that may sound a little strange, but many believers have to forgive somebody who's dead. They cannot let that go. Let it go. Forgive them. Get your mind set on Christ. Many Christians harbor in their souls resentment, even hatred, towards someone who has died. Forgive them so that you can advance in the plan of God. Another great problem with forgiveness is that in reality, what we think of forgiveness between one believer is a reflection of what we think of forgiveness from God. Question, and I say this a lot of times to you, what kind of God do you have? What kind of forgiveness does your God forgive with? Many Christians have a problem. How can God forgive me? Horrible sins, abortion, failure. God cannot forgive me. Get your eyes off of yourself. Get your eyes off of sin. Get your eyes on God. Is God big enough? Get your eyes on the cross. Did Christ not bear that on the cross? Well, yes he did. Yes he did. He bore it on the cross. God can forgive. See, what some people think is that when he drank of the cup of our sins, one little drip dribbled down, came down, and stuck down here on the bottom. That's the one he can't forgive me of. No, he drank the whole cup. All the sins. All the sins of the world he bore on the cross. Now, how many times will God forgive me? What must I do to be forgiven by God? What happens when God does not forgive me? When God does forgive me? All these have a great bearing on our forgiving one another. One, God forgives sin because of the work of Christ on the cross. Two, God forgives all sins because Christ bore all sins on the cross. If somebody tells you he cannot forgive me because I had an abortion, because I committed something that's really bad, I committed a murder, on and on and on, you just say, no, 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 no. On that cross, Christ bore the judgment of that sin. Yes, he did. Three, to be forgiven, live a life of faith in the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:13, forgiving each other. Again, each other, reflexive pronoun. What you do to yourself. See, this is my family. What you do to yourself. The use of the reflexive pronoun here was determined by an act of forgiveness. Reflexive pronoun here looks at the whole body of Jesus Christ as one. Therefore, this is what the body does to itself. It forgives itself. One, it forgives because it is himself. This is why we are to forgive, simply because the other person is in the body of Christ and the body forgives itself. Does that make sense? I know it sounds a little weird. Two, the pattern for this forgiveness is as God forgives. The basis of this forgiveness, cross work of Christ on the cross. I don't have it on here, but I should have put in here, unbelievers forgive much easier than Christians. And they have no grounds. They just say, well, they're human, and all humans have some good in them. No, they don't. No, they don't. Well, then why can we forgive so easily then? Because of the cross. We're the only ones that have a reason to forgive. They don't even have a reason. A bona fide reason, a truthful reason. We do. When you forgive somebody, it's based on Christ's work on the cross. Not on them, not on you, but on Christ. See? This is very important. You mean that we are to forgive another person just because they're believers? Yes. They're in the body of Christ. They're one of you. But the basis, the foundation of that forgiveness is because of the cross. Because the body of Jesus Christ is viewed as one. Therefore, reciprocal action of forgiveness. See? Husband and wife forgive each other. Parents forgive children. Children forgive brothers and sisters. It's reciprocal. It's what you do in a family. It's what you do. You don't become like Cain and Abel. See? You're in this family. You forgive each other. Reciprocal action. Forgiveness is something that all Christians are to show to themselves mutually. Therefore, the reflexive pronoun, forgive yourselves. Yes, in one sense, it is like forgiving yourself. Only in this case, you are another believer. Therefore, one of the great problems is that believers do not look at each other as an extension of Jesus Christ. That's what we have to do with one another. They're an extension of Christ. I don't like what they did. Get your eyes off of what they did. I'm trying to tell you. If you keep your mind set on what they did, you'll never forgive. You've got to get your eyes off of them, off of what they did, and on Christ. And then it's easy to forgive. Keep your eyes on them. Keep your eyes on what they did. You can't forgive. Or you forgive with strings attached. Therefore, the universal illustration or pattern is set by Jesus Christ at the cross, which every Christian has personally experienced at the point of faith in Christ. The forgiveness that we receive from Jesus Christ at the cross binds us by pattern and power to deal with one another in the same way. We saw something interesting the other day. Nixon was impeached. Ford pardoned him. Nixon didn't want to take that pardon because according to the Constitution and the Supreme Court, to accept a pardon is an admit of guilt. Nixon wasn't ready to say he's guilty. He had to wrestle through that. He eventually accepted the pardon. But think about this. When you and I believed in Jesus Christ, what did we say? I'm guilty. I cannot save myself. I'm a sinner. And if I'm going to be saved, it's because of you and your Son. That's what we're admitting. When we take God's pardon, we are admitting we're guilty. And we want your pardon in Christ. It's a beautiful concept. Okay, definition. Let's define forgiveness. The Greek word used for forgiveness, Colossians 3:13, Ephesians 4:12, means, one, this is out of lexicons, to show someone favor, be kind to give or bestow a thing willfully, to pardon, graciously remit a person's sin, to forgive. But for a working definition, I took from Charles Stanley's book on forgiveness. Here's what he said. Forgiveness is the act of setting someone free from an obligation to you that is the result of a wrong done against you. And true forgiveness, then, involves three elements, all of which are necessary. An injury, a debt resulting from the injury, cancellation of that debt. Someone's wronged you, okay, they've hurt you. That's the injury done. Now, they owe me for what they've done against me. That's why David said, against you and you only have I sinned. But getting back to this, they owe me now. But you know what? I'm canceling that. I'm not going to worry about it. I've got to move on with the Lord. I got to move on with my life. I don't have time to wait on you. I've got to move on. That's what he's saying. So, injury, debt, cancellation. One, begin with a friendly relationship in harmony. Two, then the disruption of this relationship due to a wrong or sin, some complaint, some provocation, real or imagined. Three, this disruption leads to an interruption, an end, stoppage to the current friendly function or service, and involves hostility, enmity, anger, strife, hate, resentment, vengeance, jealousy, so forth. Four, by the process of forgiveness that removes all this hate and hostility. Do you hear that? That's what you got to do when you forgive. You're letting go of that hate. You're letting go of that hostility. You're letting go of that anger. You don't have to pick up a gun and shoot them. You don't have to hit them. You don't have to stab them. You don't have to get even. Forgiveness frees your mind. Frees your soul to be occupied with Christ. So four, by process of forgiveness, that removes all this hate and hostility. This process is not to act as if the offense or sin or complaint never occurred. It did occur. Something must be done. This is forgiveness. All that must be done to remove the barrier and restore, if it's going to be, the relationship and function of that relationship. And five, the process involves forgiveness. The barrier is removed by forgiveness. Okay, let's close with some conclusions. One, we're to recognize that other believers will sin against us. That can be husband, wife, parent, child, friends, family, church. Will fail us. Do things. See, this is not putting up. Putting up was last week. This is where the person's actually done something. Putting up with, you just don't like them. You don't like the way they dress, you like the way they drive, you don't like the way they look, you don't like the... No, we're talking forgiveness here. They've done something. Some act against you. See? Breaks fellowship and causes us to become angry, seek revenge, desire to judge them, condemn them. Two, we're told in the New Testament what we are to do when a believer sins against us. We're to forgive them. See? We're told of what we're not to do. But what does the Bible say to do if somebody does those things? Forgive them. See? Forgive them. This involves the end of hostility, anger, revenge, judgment against them, sarcastic remarks, little snips of bitterness. All that's over. Three, as to the meaning and result of forgiveness, all we have to do is go to the cross and see how God the Father forgives us. God the Father doesn't, you know, he's not up there saying to the Holy Spirit, they had a little dirty rat down there. God the Father had little snippy remarks. It's not sarcastic. It's over. It's over. Many try to claim there are different kinds of forgiveness, impersonal and personal. But no such concepts can be found in the New Testament. As with forgiveness of God the Father and of Jesus Christ for us, how we're to forgive others. Colossians 2:13, and when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. For almost everyone knows about Peter's question to our Lord, forgiving 70 times 7, but that is not really what he means. Most cannot even forgive the 7 times that Peter asked about. Believer forgiving a believer. What is being said here is that what we are to forgive another believer as often as they sin against us. Five, another great problem with believers, forgiving believers, is we cannot forgive every type of sin. Just little ones, but not big ones. Matthew 12:31. Therefore I say to you, any sin, blasphemy, shall be forgiven men. But blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. We are to forgive as He forgives of any sin against us. Matthew verse 32, and whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it's forgiven him. How about that? But whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. I just can't forgive him. Yet God forgives everyone, even if they blaspheme Christ. What is a sin against the Holy Spirit that cannot be forgiven? Rejection of Christ as Savior. 6, another difficult passage, where God does not forgive, Mark 11. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe, you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone. Now, most believers hold inside their complaint against another believer, letting it build up in them until they can really hurt that other person. And even then, it stays in their soul. Verse 25, so that your Father, who also is in heaven, may forgive you your transgressions. The same word is used of man and God during the forgiveness. So don't try to change the meaning. Oh, but mine are not as bad as that other believer in your eyes. But in God's eyes, sin is sin. And the effect of any sin, it results in carnality. Darkens the relationship. Verse 26, okay, here it is now, pay attention. But if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, forgive your transgressions. Whoa, where does that come from? What's going on here? Let me just simplify by saying, God is going to deal with you on your basis. You deal with one another according to law, I'll deal with you according to law. You want to deal with one another in grace, I'll deal with you in grace. Okay? Point 7. Another difficult passage for many Christians who try to find ways to for Scripture not to cause them to forgive. Luke 17:3. Be on guard! If your brother sins, rebuke him! That's what I want to rebuke him. But if he repents, forgive him. Note, we repent with each other to appropriate forgiveness from one another. But to receive forgiveness from God, what is it? Faith. Verse 4, and if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, forgive him. Okay. Same sin, 7 times, and think about it, if we go from 8 to 5, that's almost every hour. Somehow or another, this person commits the same sin against you every hour. Okay. Now, how do I know they really repented? I just don't trust your repentance. Okay, here's the answer. That is between them and God. No one appointed you the judge of someone's repentance. But even more importantly, forgiveness has no, or repentance has no power. Don't try to give repentance what it doesn't have. I don't trust your repentance. If you truly repented, you wouldn't do this. That's wrong. Repentance deals with the past. I may do it the next minute, but I repent over the past. Repentance has no power. Don't give repentance power. It doesn't have power. Holy Spirit has power, not repentance. Let's go to point 8, running out of time. One final remember, and one reminder about forgiveness. Many believers have a problem with forgiving one another because they want their forgiveness to do things that forgiveness cannot do. 1, we cannot cleanse. Remember that, please. You cannot cleanse another believer by your forgiveness. So many believers do not want to forgive because they know that dirty rat will do it again. See? and that troubles them and prevents them from forgiving. Cleansing is the work of God. Only God can cleanse, not you. Your forgiveness does not cleanse. Two, our forgiveness cannot take away the sins or failures. It's done. Three, our forgiveness cannot save or deliver from sins. Only God can do that. Four, our forgiveness cannot cover the sins of others. Only the blood of Christ, the spiritual death of Christ, can do that. Five, our forgiveness does not purify. But I have forgiven you. You should be pure now. What gave you the power to purify somebody? Forgiveness does not purify. Only the Holy Spirit, the Christ, can do that. Six, our forgiveness does not propitiate. Jesus Christ propitiates. And seven, and be sure you understand what your forgiveness can and cannot do. And don't react when you realize that your forgiveness cannot cleanse another believer, nor prevent them from doing it again. Your forgiveness has nothing to do about the next minute. I forgive you. The next minute they do it, the next hour they do it, that does not mar this forgiveness. And that forgiveness has no control over the next hour. But I forgave you. Yeah, and I appreciate that. Now I'm going to steal from you again. See? So just understand what your forgiveness can and cannot do. But I want to close with this. Most important, what it does to you. It allows you to move on in the plan of God. It allows you to pray, to worship, to study the Word of God, to sing praises, to serve Him. That's what real forgiveness does. It gets rid of all that stuff in your soul that hampers your relationship with Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Well, we got communion now. Yeah. The first Sunday, we got communion, and then we get to eat. So, let's prepare ourselves for our communion. Okay, we have two elements. I think everyone here is well aware of the bread and the cup. And the bread represents physical birth of Jesus, the physical death of Christ, who gave Himself on a cross that we might come to God and to Him for all eternity. Let's prepare ourselves for the taking of the cup, or the bread, by prayer. We thank You, Father, that on the cross, Jesus Christ provided forgiveness for every one of us. And He provided the basis of us forgiving one another. How wonderful is that? How free is that? He set us free from the bondage of hate, revenge, jealousy. Set us free to serve. We praise You, Father, in Your Son's precious name. Amen. It is our cup that everyone holds the bread till everyone is served, that we might take communion together as we take communion with Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It is our custom that everyone hold a cup till everyone has been served, take communion together as we take it with him. Same way, he, Jesus Christ, took the cup after supper, the Passover is over, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross for our benefit. We thank you, Father, that you raised him from the dead, that we may have everlasting life. Father, we thank you for what we studied this morning, forgiveness, which is an attribute of you, wherein we can imitate you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the food we're about to partake. Thank you for our fellowship. Pray that your Spirit can use this morning's study to bring honor and glory to Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Hope you all will stay and eat with us.